Ted Heller's first novel, Slab Rat, is set in the world of magazine publishing. The novel satirizes the contents of glossy magazines and the office politics of the writers and editors. Heller is familiar with that world. He's worked at Vanity Fair, Details, Premiere, and Spy, mostly in the photography departments. Heller is the son of writer Joseph Heller, best known for the novel Catch-22. Slab Rat's main character, Alan Post, is an assistant editor at It Magazine, part of the magazine empire controlled by Versailles Publishing. In order to fit in at the magazine, he's made up a fake upper-class background. Now he has to figure out a way to advance up the magazine's corporate ladder. Here's a reading about his working life before It Magazine when he worked at Here Magazine.
It's true that I worked at Here for a while, and it was boring. Mind-numbingly, lethally boring. Except for the fact that I was constantly on my toes, lest someone discover that I didn't really belong there. The only thing lower than wasting away at Here is working for Versailles' sister publication company, Federated Magazines, which puts out magazines for boy group obsessed teens, Teen Time, gun enthusiasts, Bullet and Barrel, and people waiting in salons to get a haircut, dues. They're in another building, and I think that building might be in another city. Nobody ever talks about them. It's a superstition. I don't even want to mention them. My boss at Here was a 60-year-old French woman named Jean Leclerc. She had painted on yellow eyebrows that resembled the McDonald's arches. At Here, I did things. I read things, opened things, wrote little things, passed things along, and collected the biggest paychecks I'd ever seen up to then. Here, though, is where you either begin or end up. But being transferred there is so ignominious that usually you just quit instead. It's like being a baseball manager for 20 years and then finding yourself a first base coach.
That's Ted Heller reading from his new novel, Slab Rat. Now, what jobs have you actually had at magazines?
Well, let's see. I started at Spy magazine, and I was brought in there not permanently. I don't know if you remember the Andy Warhol diaries. It was Andy Warhol's diaries, and they were very gossipy. As a matter of fact, that's the only thing they were. But they did not have an index, and there were hundreds and hundreds of names there. So they needed people to just read the book many times over, and every single time a famous name was mentioned, to write it down and write, you know, why that person was being mentioned. And that was my first job in magazines. So I would write things like Halston, cocaine use of, things like that. dozens and dozens of things like that. So that was my first job. And then after that, I got work at Spy magazine, and I don't know if you remember Separated at Birth.
Yes, that was very funny. Describe it.
Well, you took two famous people who resembled each other and paired them up. And so I did that for a couple of years. And I still have residual after effects of it. Whenever I see a picture of Jeff Bridges, I think of, there's an Iranian cleric named, I don't know his first name, and I wouldn't be able to pronounce it if I did, but his last name is Rafsanjani. And whenever I see Rafsanjani, I think of Jeff Bridges and vice versa.
What's the closest you came to working at a magazine like It Magazine?
Well, I worked at Spy for maybe 3 or 4 years, and then I was laid off with other people. I don't really know the order of magazines that I worked at, but I did work at Vanity Fair for 2 weeks. I was filling in for somebody, and I worked in the photo department, and I basically returned photos. It was entirely a clerical job. Tina Brown was the editor-in-chief at that time, not Graydon Carter, who's the editor-in-chief now. And I just remember walking the hallways and nobody acknowledging my existence, nobody saying hello or anything like that.
Now, your main character, in order to get his job at the magazine, he fakes his resume, and he even makes up a well-bred path for himself because he wants to fit into his perception of this world. Mm-hmm. So he tells people that he's from a wealthy community and that his father is a brilliant but temperamental architect, when in fact his real father owns a couple of swimming pool supply stores named The Wet Guy. And I'm wondering why you related to this need to rewrite your life when, in a way, I mean, you already came from a pedigree. You're the son of the writer Joseph Heller, most famous for Catch-22.
There were some things that I did relate to him to, and that was in terms of frustration at his job. But there's really not that much of this book, which is too autobiographical.
When you were growing up and when mm-hmm. you were first starting to work, how did you feel about it when people would find out who your father was?
The weird thing is, it often happens that people found out about it before I met them. For instance, I found out recently that the job interview I had at Nickelodeon Magazine, where I work now, the woman, I only found this out recently, had been told who my father was before I even had the interview. So things like that happen, and it's a little disconcerting. And after 43 years, I now know to keep my antenna up most of the time.
What's disconcerting about it?
Just the fact that it's like I sort of have a reputation, but it's not even my reputation.
Right. Now, you're 43 now. First mm-hmm. novel just published. It's kind of late for a first novel.
Well, it's the first published novel. You should see what I've got underneath my bed, other than the dust bunnies. There are lots of books, plays, movies there. Uh-huh. So I tried.
Did you ever get so discouraged that you were threatening to permanently give up?
Well, by the time I started writing Slab Rat, the weird thing was I had given up. When I was writing this, I had no thought that this book would ever get published. I was really writing for me. And if this hadn't gotten published, I would have written another book, and I would have written that one for me. And by this time, by the time that I had finished Slab Rat, I contacted agents, sending query letters to them, almost on a lark, thinking, well, maybe this one will get published. And it did. And I'm still in a state of shock.
My guest is Ted Heller, author of the new novel Slab Rat. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Ted Heller, and his new novel, Slab Rat, is a satire of the magazine world. So let's talk about some of the day jobs that you had over the years. you worked in the garment district for a while?
Yes, I did.
What did you do there?
I did anything that anyone asked me to. I pushed racks full of clothing. I unloaded trucks. I loaded trucks. I did shelving, which is taking the clothing out of boxes and put them on the shelves by size and color, that kind of stuff. And I liked the job. My best friend was my boss. As a matter of fact, that's how I got the job. He was the warehouse manager. And I liked the people I worked with. It was totally stress-free. I really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh. Now, a lot of people get their identities, or at least partially get their identities from their work. And you were doing work that you were doing to tide you over while you tried to write.
Mm-hmm.
Did that affect your sense of who you were?
Well, when I was working in the clothing business, I was just, I was not really trying to write until I saw the play Glengarry Glen Ross. And I saw that on a date. And I remember the next day, I just loved the play. And the next day I told my boss, you got to go see this play. He went. I don't know if he went on a date, though. He might have gone alone. And we just turned on our word processor. And this was a while ago, so the word processors don't look like they do today. We just started writing a play. And that was like the first real writing that I had ever done. And somehow, I don't know how, but the play got a workshop production in Los Angeles. So when that was really when I started writing.
So if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't have started.
I owe it all to David Mamet. It's very strange because a couple of weeks ago, I was at my job. I was on the floor, and there were hundreds and hundreds of 35-millimeter slides, and I'm sorting them and doing this and that with them. And the phone rang, and I picked it up, and it was Gregory Mosher, who directed Glengarry Glen Ross. He had read Slab Rat, and he was calling me because he liked it so much. And we just started doing lines from Glengarry Glen Ross to each other over the phone. And it was kind of sad because then I had to say goodbye, and then I was back on the floor and I was sorting through pictures of the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC again.
For your magazine.
Yes.
we should say that Glengarry Glen Ross, it's a play by David Mamet about guys who work for this kind of scam real estate company mm-hmm. that sells like bad real estate to unknowing people by phone. And mm-hmm. they try to pass it off as this wonderful, wonderful economic opportunity. What was your take on that? I mean, how did your play connect to that subject?
It was really the language that they were using. That's what staggered me, because for months and months, my friend and I, we would just do dialogue to each other like that, imitating people who worked in the clothing business. You know, the older Jewish men, the younger black men, Hispanic men, the Italian people. We just would just do that with each other all the time. And then we saw that, hey, you can do this and get paid for it, and win a Tony for it. So we thought, okay, let's give this a try.
Do you remember some of the lines from your play?
You embarrass me, Terry.
That's what they pay me the big bucks for.
Okay, all right. This is why I do not understand why this play, I don't even understand why anyone read more than 4 pages of it. Because the first 3 pages were just two Jewish guys in their 70s arguing who is a better ball player, Willie Mays and Ty Cobb. And they just, I think the first 3 pages were just, if you read it, it would be like Mays, pause, Cobb, long pause. We had also been reading a lot of Harold Pinter then. So I think there were more pauses than words on the first couple of pages. And I'm baffled by the fact that anybody actually read more than that.
Did your father encourage you to write?
There was never any pressure at all, none whatsoever. I remember when I told him about that play, as a matter of fact, the name of that play was Damaged Goods. He was shocked because I had never told him that I, you know, had been trying to write. He was pleasantly shocked, I'll add.
Are you sorry that he didn't live to actually see the book's publication?
That is perhaps the most, it's the most unfair thing that has ever happened to me. He died on December 12th, and I think 2 weeks later, a messenger came to me at work and delivered the book to me. And that was just, you know, I'm not married, I don't have any kids, so this was like maybe the biggest moment in my life, and I couldn't tell him about it. That was very bad.
Yeah. You know, your novel satirizes the magazine world, many magazines. And now I imagine you're being written up in some of those magazines. So what's the experience like of being praised in magazines that you've satirized in the book that you're being praised for in those magazines?
I remember when I told my ex-girlfriend that I was going to be photographed by Vanity Fair. And I think she said, haven't they read the book? And that was sort of my attitude, too. Like, I couldn't believe that they were doing that.
Ted Heller, he's the author of the new novel, Slab Rat.